everybody. And thank everybody for coming out this early in the morning. I'm going to talk to you guys today about colonoscopy instructions and how health literacy affects our patients' ability to receive colonoscopies and their ability to approach the procedure. Colonoscopy screening in the U.S., about 50% of the people within the CDC's recommendation guidelines are up to date with screening. Our study center, in particular, had a big problem with non-attendance. We had about 32% of our patients that were scheduled for colonoscopies weren't showing up. We also had an additional 20% of patients of the group that were showing up unprepared or poorly prepared. These problems, not only are we not giving our patients the screening they need, but these are also causing other downstream effects with the clinics themselves and scheduling. It's a financial issue as well as a patient health issue. Patient barriers to colorectal cancer screening include comprehension, health literacy, low patient activation. There's a laundry list of different things that stop patients from receiving colorectal cancer screening, and particularly colonoscopy itself has some interesting issues, some interesting barriers that patients have difficulty overcoming. We, for our study in particular, we focused on comprehension of written instructions, and I'll go into that in just a moment. The preparation for colonoscopy can be extremely difficult for a lot of patients. They do have to go on a clear liquid diet for a full 24 hours. They have to drink, for our study site, which is in northwest Louisiana, in Shreveport, they do a split prep. So they do half of a PEG solution, which is a rather tasty treat that our patients get to ingest. They drink half of that the day before, and they drink another half of it the morning of. And I'm sure waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and trying to get through a bunch of that is quite wonderful. Patients also can't eat anything at all after midnight, and these are just a few of the preparation difficulties that they go through. So for our intervention, our control group received the traditional instructional sheet that we had used, we'd been using in the clinics, in the medicine specialty clinic, or in the endoscopy clinic, I apologize. The intervention group received a new version of the instructional sheet. I'll go over both of them in just a moment. This is the control group instructions, an example over here on the left. This was very provider-centered. Most of what was highlighted on the document was what the hospital thought was important and not what the patients actually needed to hear in order to prepare for their colonoscopies. It was written at an eighth grade level, which is rather high for a lot of our patients. A lot of the sentences were in all caps, which has been shown in the past to be difficult for patients with low health literacy. Almost all the sentences were written in passive tense, and it's a long list with very little structure to it. Patients would pretty much have to sit down and read this top to bottom to figure out what they needed to do, or if they had a specific question about what they needed to do at one step, they would start at the beginning and read all the way through. Our intervention group instructions, the newer instructions that we came up with, they're a lot more patient-centered. We did some kind of more casual discussions with some patients to see what they were confused about in the procedure. It's written at a fourth grade level. It's got short sentences. It's all active tense and very short lists. And it's broken down by days before the test to explain to them what they need to do each day. Our demographics for the intervention group and the hospital in general, most of our patients for this were between 50 and 59. Education, they were mostly high school educated, or I'd say a larger percentage of that was GED. We were predominantly African-American population, mostly female population, and the majority were adequately health literate, but we did have a significant percentage that had inadequate health literacy. We assessed comprehension of the instructions using preparation questions and scheduling questions to see where we were falling short and to see if we were able to improve comprehension or their knowledge of when they needed to be at the clinic. For comprehension, for the 25 patients that we went through with the traditional document, none of them were able to give us to answer all the preparation questions correctly. For the intervention document, we were able to increase that 27% of the group. There's still, obviously, a long way to go there, but we did actually increase it quite a bit. On the other hand, our patients, when we asked them if, how strongly they agreed with the statement, these instructions would be easy for me to follow, all of our patients either strongly or somewhat agreed with that. But it turns out their self-reported comprehension didn't actually translate to what's actually happening, which is, I equate to a physician saying, "Do you understand?" and the patient nodding their head. It just doesn't work. The comprehension of the clinic visit schedule, we did have more than half of the study group understood and was able to answer proper questions about just their basic visit. We did have a large portion of both groups. It was almost for each, they had about the same percentage. Were not able to tell us, although the scheduling time, date, even the day of the week were on the document, they were not able to pretty much give us that information directly back. It was written in front of them. They were able to look at it and tell us. And a lot of people still had the dates wrong. So once we went through this, we talked to patients about what they had difficulty understanding as we went through. For the control group, a big portion of the confusion was when they actually needed to drink the mix. It is a split prep, with a lot of patients, which a lot of patients had a little more difficulty with. They didn't know when to begin the first round, when they needed to get the second half of the PEG solution down. They were very confused about when they needed to take their medications, which medications to stop taking. It mentioned not taking aspirin, but their doctor told them they needed to. Very confusing. And then placement of important information. Again, they couldn't locate information on the documents that they thought that they had questions about. For our interventional document, the newer one, a lot of patients said that there was too much information on there. They said they were able to navigate it, but it was just a lot, kind of overwhelming when they first saw it. They also had difficulties with taking medications with a sip of water. We had several patients that thought it was very contradictory that they could take a sip of water, but they weren't supposed to have anything orally after midnight. So they weren't sure what to do about that. And then the interventional document was in a brochure format, and we had the date on the front cover. A lot of people, when I asked them what time they needed to be at the clinic, they immediately, instead of looking at the front of it, they immediately opened it up and started searching. A lot of people weren't able to find the information, or they'd spend a few minutes saying, "I know I looked at that." Going through, we found several words, some verbiage that was medical jargon that we didn't, a lot of our physicians didn't realize was medical jargon. Colonoscopy itself, a lot of people didn't understand what that was. If you told them it was a test for colon cancer, they knew what you were talking about. They said, "Oh yeah, the thing with the tube." PrEP in itself, it's a short word. A lot of patients don't understand what that means. Getting ready for the test was a lot more understandable for several of our patients. Clear liquids, a lot of people thought that meant, actually several people that I've spoken with outside of the study, but mostly people in our study didn't know what clear liquids meant. They thought that it was Sprite, water, ginger ale, and that was about it. They didn't realize you can still have your morning cup of coffee as long as you don't have cream or anything in there. Anything that's see-through you're still able to have. So we've changed some of that language over to see-through liquids. And then Go Lightly, the actual drink mix itself, or PEG solution, they didn't understand what that meant. So drink mix was what most of our patients referred to it as. And then 2 days before, at midnight, a lot of people had a lot of difficulty figuring out which day we were talking about. Our proposed solution to that would be to use specific dates, which could be difficult putting on all the documents, but I think it could be extremely useful. So health literacy and development of written instructions can definitely increase patient comprehension. This is a study for CRC screening, but there have been other studies as well that support that using health literacy best practices can increase patient comprehension. And then health literacy, best practices can also alleviate patient barriers, specifically those that comprehension. And then it can also benefit alternative patient navigation techniques, this has become a pilot study. There's another one that's piggybacking off of this that's going to use the written instructions combined with a group of patient navigators. It'll be the physicians, mostly residents, navigating patients through the procedure as they go through. So, health literacy practices improve the usability of colonoscopy preparation instructions. It's pretty much what that entire long title and the rest of this talk sums up to. That's all from me. Any questions? Did there weren't statistical differences in those at all. Most of the patients either got everything correct, and this is a general statement, but most of our patients either got everything correct or they would only get one or two questions right. They were either very understanding of what was going on or didn't have much understanding at all. The majority of the problem was with the scheduling of when to drink the solution. We had several questions involving that, and most people just couldn't navigate through that information. No? Dr. Wilson? We did use representatives from the population, as well as several different health literacy experts, several different gastroenterologists that were interested in making the information more understandable. And we went back and forth with several of our patients. This gave us a bigger representation to see what we were, what was useful and what wasn't to our patients. Whereas we used about five different people before this study, with 51, we've got a little, 26 from the intervention group. We have a little more information about what is too much information. Thank you.